Great is God. No, I mean, great is God. Stir yourself up, the Word says, in your most holy faith. What could you do today if God were doing it through you? What could be accomplished today? What could take place today? The Word of the Lord is healing to you today. The Word of the Lord is healing to you today. The Word of the Lord is joy to you today. It feels good to feel joyful. I felt joyful on Thanksgiving. Was anybody thankful? I thought about all the wonderful people that we have met through the years and the wonderful things that God has done. The wonderful people we know today. The wonderful things that God is doing. So thankful that I know to call on the Lord. Do you know to call on the Lord? So thankful that I know to bow my knee and to worship Him. So thankful. My whole household, my family, we were thankful to worship God. I was thankful that my little sister got to come and her husband, my brother-in-law, such wonderful people, had an incredible Thanksgiving. I hope you did as well. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm truly thankful. I hope you're thankful. Thankfulness goes a long, long ways. It will change your mind. It will change your attitude. It will shape how you are supposed to think. It will take the wrong idea that things aren't going right and turn them into the right idea that God is Lord over everything that's taking place in your life. It has an incredible way of bringing transformation and illumination so you see things as they really are. The truth is powerful. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. If you see things the way they really are, you're excited about life. You're excited about the present. You're stirred to become the future. It's an incredible thing to trust in the Lord, to believe that if God be for me, nothing could possibly be against me. It's so good to be thankful. And Father, before you, we are thankful. We thank you. You know, I thank God that it is finished. But because Jesus is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, He is He which was and is to come. Because He is the Trinity of all time. Right here, right now, God will manifest Himself, meaning make Himself available, known to you. If you simply know who He really is, He is the fullness of the Father. That's a mouthful to say that Jesus is the fullness of the Father. I get to say it because it's in the Word of God. And I believe it. So I'm thankful today. Be thankful with me. If you had a great Thanksgiving, carry it on into today, Sunday. If it was so-so, let's make it so great. Let's make this the greatest season of your life. Let's perpetuate the time so it just continues and continues and continues in the goodness of the Lord. But in God, because He is the fullness of all things, it just keeps getting fuller and fuller and fuller. And it's not that one thing that God does is better than another thing that He does. But each thing that God does is full in all that it is. And when you experience that, the next thing seems all good and all new. And this is the greatest again. Because every action, every move, every word of God is full of life. And newness and joy. I like joy. I like to feel joy and goodness. And the scriptures tell us something really important. It says that the kingdom of God, which is what Jesus told us to seek, the word says the kingdom of God is righteousness. It's not about what you buy or sell or wear or eat or drink. As good as Thanksgiving dinner may have been, it was great with me. Taste and see the Lord is so much better. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. And we're told to seek the kingdom of God. I want to talk about that today. But first, I want you to get excited. I want you to get excited. I want you to let heaven know you're excited. Invoke a blessing today. Let heaven know that you're just thrilled that heaven exists. Let heaven know that you're thrilled that there is a reality beyond what you know. Let heaven know. Let's make heaven restless. Come on. Make heaven restless. Provoke a blessing on your life. Provoke a blessing. Abraham did it. Jacob did it. The woman with the issue did it. Bartimaeus did it. The captain did it. You can do it. Do it now. You can do it. Some way, somehow. You can do it. Believe you can. You can do it. Just say, because I am, says, I am. You can do it. Call on the Lord. He said, and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. Wake yourself up. Stir yourself up in the power of God's Spirit and the glory of His mind. Gonna learn some things, gonna see some things, gonna do some things brand new today for you. Today. Gonna learn some things, gonna see some things, gonna do some things brand new today, tomorrow, and the next day. Gonna do some things, gonna learn some things, gonna see some things brand new today, tomorrow, next day. Gonna do some things, gonna see some things. God is opening up the way of kings. You will walk in them. You will look at them. You will say to them, there isn't anything that brought me here but my faith. That God has said, I am with you in all you do and all you say and all you believe. I am there before you arrive, says the Lord. So walk in it, talk in it, glorify the Lord in it, and know before you get there that it's already been done. Just be a part of the doing. For you have been pursuing, and what you pursue will pursue you and overwhelm you more than you knew you could do. This is the word of the Lord, and the power of His Spirit and the glory of His might be manifest among His people. This is that day. Woo! This is that day! This is that day! Whoa! This is that day! Pulling on heaven 24/7. It's who we are. It's what we do. Amen. Amen. Say it. Pulling on heaven 24/7. It's who we are. It's what we do. Amen. Whatever you release from the earth will be released from the kingdom of God. Whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in the kingdom of God. This the Lord says to you, call on me and I will answer you and show you great, inscrutable things you have not yet known them, but I will reveal them to you by my Spirit and through my word, says God. Give Him praise. Come on! Give Him praise! Give Him praise! Ah. Give Him praise! Bless His name. Come on. Do it a while. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Glorify His name in the earth. Oh, you chosen of God, exalt the Lord and let us do it together. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house. Yeah! Come on. Overcome your will with the word of God and believe. He is Lord with you, Lord in you, Lord through you. To God be the glory, the honor, and praise. Of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. To God be the glory. This is that moment. This is that season. There is no reason why you cannot hear the word of the Lord and prophesy. This is the day. This is the moment. This is the hour. Spirit of God transforming you. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. The Lord God has opened a great door within the heavens, and we stand between the heavens and the earth. God is saying, today I will to make it one with you and you one with it. And what is the it but all things? In the fullness of God's Spirit and power, this is the hour. For the Lord has opened up a day, a door, a time, a season, a thing. What can you call it? How can you understand it unless you walk in that door and say of the Lord, I am here. Use me, Lord. I am here. Send me, O God. There was a call into the nations by the Spirit of the Lord saying, come and follow me. What would I do through you if you would believe I am God with you and do all things? That I might be glorified in the earth, that you may shout praises, and in those praises you ascend before me, just as your praise ascends before me, says the Spirit of wonder. Glorify the Lord. Come before me. I'll give you peace and joy and righteousness. I will testify to you as you testify to me, that I am the Lord with you in spirit, now and throughout eternity. I am the God that doesn't change. I am the everlasting one. I am your exceeding great joy. I am the Lord who heals you, strengthens you, raises you up. I am the Lord who does wonders through you, that I may be glorified through you and in you. To God be glory. Let everybody say amen. Let everybody say amen. Come on, there's something in the place. There's something in this space. Something's going on. People who are viewing right now, get healed in the name of the Lord. The Word of God healed you today. Someone with stomach issues, you've been to the doctor, they don't know what's going on. They say we're going to have to run some tests. You're due to go into the doctor in the next, just a little over a week. God healed you right now, so they can say we can't find anything. And you say, because I am healed according to the Word of the Lord. Justin, in Jesus' name. Jesus, you are the King of Kings. Jesus, you are the Prince of all the nations of the earth. You are the hand of Moses in Egypt. You are the God of Caleb in Canaan. You are the Lord of wonders in the midst of the sea. You are the power of Moses' staff as they walk through on dry, hollow ground. You are the Lord that raises up a tempest and a wave, and yet they are not overcome, nor are we. You say, stand strong and see what God would do, and don't be shaken when the Lord turns the upside down things right side up. And it creates chaos in the world because people say, we're used to living so upside down. But God says, I will make it right side up, and I will establish my name. You are the forerunners of this season, and of this time, I have given it into your hands. What will you do? Call upon me. Search your heart. Find my word deep within you. All that I have brought you through, all that I have taken you through, all that I have shown you. Have I not taught you that I am the Lord with you? Have I not kept you to this present day? Stand strong in your faith and say of the Lord, my God, you are with me at all times to do wonders and to be glorified. I will walk in your righteousness. Your joy and your peace are established within me, for your kingdom dwells within. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house. 10 times, 10 times, we will see a change in the nations of all the earth. For the faith of those that have believed and believed that it would be right. That is why God will do as He has said. Because you have believed according to the Word. Because you have sought for the will of God. And you've refused to bow to any other that call themselves gods. But only the Lord God. Only God. There's a time when the ark was stolen, because the people weren't empowered to hold on to it. The priests weren't sanctified before God. You can take your seat, but stay in this atmosphere. Stay right where we are. And they took the ark one place, and the people were tormented because they weren't sanctified according to the word and the will of the Lord. So that ark of power just caused panic. But it was so filled with promise and power and so detailed according to the will of God. And they moved it yet again, and the people were still troubled. You know, sometimes it's the same thing with us today. We have a covenant with the Father. We have a covenant of blessing and transformation into the likeness of who He is. You have that covenant. God has made that covenant with you, that He would make you as He is. He said it's no longer you that lives, but it's I that lives in you, and you are not your own. You're bought with a price. It's no longer you that lives, but I live in you. God said you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your bodies don't belong to you. They're God. They belong to God. They're His. And God says your bodies are mine. Your bodies are God's bodies. You are the host of the Holy Spirit. We get to host His presence. And yet, if you're not sanctified, and how are we sanctified? But believing the word that He has said, believing what He has spoken to us. But not just believing it, but ruling, reigning and ruling. And the key to reigning and ruling according to the word of God is understanding, really understanding. And understanding the word of God is the work, the acts and actions of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to give you understanding as to who Christ in you is and who you in Him, who you are. And it's a very transforming time, and we need that transformation so that ark of covenant promise begins to work through us, begins to work through you, healing you. Healing your spirit, your body, your mind, your family. Delivering you from confusion and condemnation. And teaching you how to think and believe correctly. How to understand. How to understand. And so the people came to Samuel, first prophet, to Israel, and they said to Samuel, "Samuel, ask God if He would save us from our enemies, because they're coming, and we know they're going to destroy us." And Samuel said this, he said, "If you've decided to put away your gods and to serve the Lord with your whole heart," he said, "I will call on the Lord." And so the word says that the people put away their gods and they began to call on the Lord. And the Philistines came up against them. Andrew, I know I'm making a lot of in the mic here. I don't know if we need a little cap for this or not. And Samuel said, "Put away your gods." They put away their gods, and he said, "If you call on the Lord," he said, "I'll pray for you." They called on the Lord and they put away their gods, the word says, and they began to call on God. And as they called on God, the Philistines came. It's like the world we've lived in today. It's like just you look out and go, man, it just seems like a horde of enemies are coming from one side to the other. Whether it felt like it was the time of COVID or the economy or whatever it is. And the word says, because the people had humbled themselves to God and the prophet of the Lord gave the command. And I think about this, a prophet of God in Israel, knowing that these people have all these foreign gods that they're just worshiping. What torment must that have been to someone who seeks God and listens to God? And you wonder, What was Samuel doing that whole time? What did he do? How must he have felt? And to a degree, you think about that today. We have so many policies in the church and so many restrictions that we put on the Holy Spirit. Because we oftentimes, people aren't seeking the kingdom of God, but the things, the eating, the clothing, the dressing, how big and how grand we can make our facilities and how many people we can drive to the altar. And instead of a surrender to the Spirit of God and say, God, maybe you would do something we hadn't thought of, just like your word says. Maybe you would reveal something that we didn't know. Maybe you would show us something that you want us to understand so we knew we didn't lack anything. And the reason we think we lack something is because we're looking for something we want that really isn't the way or what you have for us. But what you want is so much better. So much better. So I'll take that. And that's the word fulfilled. You can hand me that mic, but I think we're okay right now. That's the word that's fulfilled that says that if we just surrender to Him, we have no lack of anything. And so, today in our world, today right here, right now, we have to believe that there is something so superior to where you are, but thankful at the same time for the present. But understanding that everything that God has walked you through, can you hear me okay out there? Give me some more volume, Andrew, please. What could you believe God for? Thankful for where we are. Thankful for where God has brought us. Thankful for all that God has done. So thankful. But because He's eternal God and a fullness God, that there's something God wants to do today that you may not have planned for. There's something that God wants to bring out of you, bring through you. And not necessarily just bringing something to you. But we have to put some of those things away. This great Ark of the Covenant that had brought so much victory to the people of God had been taken from them. It remained, but it had been taken out of their hands because they worshipped other gods. I put before you, it is time to... And this is what a prophetic office does, and you need to get used to it because our world is going to become very prophetic as the Word of God has said, because we are in that day, latter day. And latter day, I'm talking about climbing the ladder day. And repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent of foreign gods. What do you mean? Well, sometimes we become gods to ourselves. We just work so hard to do something that God would do so easily if we were surrendered. And then the power of God is working through you and God gets the glory for what is done if you will just be obedient and do it with your whole heart and do it continuously. The power of the Ark of the Covenant was God's Word. But the power within the ark, it was the Word of God. It was the will of God. But it was because of the faith of the people. It was the faith of mankind that obeyed the will of God, obeyed the Word of God, did as God had commanded, paid acute attention to how God said to design it. And it wasn't for opulence sake. It was for obedience to the detail of God's Word. And in obedience to the detail of God's Word, not putting those things aside. You just can't hate your neighbor. You just can't speak ill, no matter how much someone in your mind deserves it. No matter how much ill they've tried to do to you. And this is pretty fundamental, but you need to listen because there is a word of future in today's word. And a lot of times people can't forgive because they can't forgive themselves. And they can't love because they don't love themselves. And I'm going to say this to you.
You have to love yourself. You should love yourself and love yourself a lot. But that's tricky. Because if you love yourself, maybe you're arrogant. Now, there are people out there that say, well, I love myself, and they may be talking about their accomplishments, their accumulation of wealth or their success in certain things. But that's not loving you. That's being in love or enamored with the things you have accomplished. But there's more to that. As the Word says, it's not what you eat or drink. It's not things. It's righteousness, joy, and peace. And you really can't have righteousness, joy, and peace without love. So how do you value yourself enough that you can love yourself? Hear this. It's a part of the prophetic word. You need to hear me. Because you have to forgive. You just have to. Or it's going to hold you back. It is, just is. And not only that, you have to bless. Because Jesus said bless. His word is bless. We need to portray the real authority and power of who Christ was. What saved you? Why are we here today? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We're here today worshiping, calling on the name of the Lord, singing songs, because God loved you beyond what you had done or would ever do. But he loved you so he could love you into being who he is in you and believing that. And you can't forgive if you don't love yourself. And you can't really love yourself unless you keep the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Now, there may be people in here that say, well, the Word never told us to love ourselves. Oh, it did, from the Old Testament to the New, numerous times. One time a man of the law asked Jesus something, trying to bait him, trying to catch him in something. And he said, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, hear and know the Lord our God is one. And you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And he says something pretty profound. He said, and the second one is like it. This is number two. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now he said, love God, and that was number one. And then he said, and love your neighbor, this is number two, as you love yourself. So literally love yourself in a sense that you're loving God. Only one God. But the second is likened unto it, he said. It's like it. What is that? Love your neighbor as yourself. How do I love? Man, it's kind of hard sometimes, right? To have a love for your neighbor like you love yourself. But Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. So Jesus, number one, Jesus said, love your neighbor like you love yourself. So we have a license from the Word of God. You have a license to love yourself. And again, that's kind of tricky because that can get into arrogance and you start talking about how wonderful you are or how great you look or how much you've done. And that's, God hates that. So then how do you love yourself? Well, number one, you have to realize, you have to understand that you are a part of God's reality. You are not your own. It is no longer you that lives. When you were born of the Spirit of God, it is no longer you that lives. But it is Christ that is alive within you. You have to love the understanding that the life you now live in your body, it is Christ that is living in you. And you're living it by the faith of the Son of God who abides in you. So to love yourself is to love your new creation, knowing it is no longer you. But who you're really loving in you is who Christ in you is. when you love about you who God in you is, when you love about you how God loved you, then you can love others, you can forgive others. And now we begin to tread different waters. When you understand how God and why God formed you and created you, He didn't make you to be a piece of who He is. He made you a part of His very own reality. He calls you sons. When I got married, I became a husband. I didn't know what that was, but it was a part of me. To be a husband was a part of me. I was a man. So a part of being a husband was already in me, but when I met my wife and I said, I sure do, then I knew something about me that had been in me that I had not known what it was like until I said, I do. And when I said, I do, I then knew what it felt like to be the husband of a beautiful, gorgeous wife. I knew what it was to be a wife, but it was always a part of me. It was always a part of me. All I had to say is, I do. And I did. And we are. I knew what it was like. I knew what it would what it looked like to be a dad. I watched people with children. I was a child, so I knew what it was like to be a child. But I didn't have any children. We had been married for a span of time before we had our first child. And I had a dream. God showed me two children. And in the dream, I fell in love. I had a feeling that I had never had before when God showed me our two babies prior to having any babies or being pregnant or even really planning on a family at that time. And I woke up and told my wife I had this the most incredible dream. I had a dream we had two children, and I felt so in love with him. It was a love unlike I've ever experienced. It was a different kind of love. And that's another part of God's reality. You are a part of God's reality. I experienced yet another part of God's reality. He is our Father. But that was in a dream. When my wife became pregnant and our first baby, our first daughter, DeRay, was born, then I knew what it really felt like. I knew the reality of being a dad. I knew what being a father really felt like. I understood because I was one. Wasn't just dreaming about it, even though the Spirit of God showed it to me. Wasn't just wanting it or thinking about it or watching other families. I was a father. I was a dad, and it felt unlike anything I'd ever experienced yet again before, because God made me a piece, a part of His reality. You are a part of God's reality. And just like you cannot know what it's like to be a mom or a dad or a wife or a husband until you actually become one, the Father wanted to realize His fullness in you. He is all the fullness of all things at all times. But we have come into the day of fullness. And we are not just only saved. We are made new. Jesus came, and the Word says that He bore the fullness of God. And He bore the image of God, not just a man. The Word says there was no comeliness about Him, nothing that made Him look like you would think God would look or like an angel. He was a man, but He took on the image in His heart, in His mind, in His spirit, in His attitude. He had to take that on, just like He had to take on the cross. And you have to do the same thing. You're not just saved from something. God has created you. When you are born again, you were created as a part of God's own reality. If you will, the only way God could experience His fullness, He deemed it necessary to create you, and to create you through the revelation of Jesus Christ, to be born again, not of flesh and blood, but yet be in a temple where you required faith in order to believe that he is who he is, so you became more spirit in your faith, more spirit in your mind, more spirit in your understanding than you are human. And as the word says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. Understanding is the power to rule the nations of the earth in righteousness. Understanding who you really are in him and who he really is in you. And you can't do that until you become that. And you can't become that until you believe that. And you can't understand it until you accept it as the truth. The word says this, it says that Jesus spoke and he said, he told us that the kingdom of God was on the inside of us. But he gave a parable, he talked and he gave a parable and he said, the seed that was sown in good ground are those who understand the kingdom of God. Here's the power to understand the kingdom of God. He said those that were stolen from were only stolen from. That is the church throughout the world. They're only stolen from. The enemy only comes and steals from them. They only lose stuff when they don't understand the word of the kingdom of God. Understanding. So it's vital to understand what I'm saying. As God has said to me, you are a part of God's reality. A part of God's reality that he cannot make known himself unless he does it through you. So how valuable are you? How much should you love you so you can love your neighbor correctly? And if we begin to love those God calls us to, those around us, whether they treat us good or bad, then we become a sign of power and we become the force to bring transformation into a very desperate world. The earth groans and travails in expectation of you being manifest as the part of God's likeness to whom he has created you to understand. You're not just saved because you were bad. You're not saved. Hear me. Hear all that I'm about to say. You're not saved because Jesus died on a cross. You are saved when you believe that he died on that cross for you. Many people heard Jesus describe the kingdom of God and in detail what he was about to do and who he was and demonstrated it, and onlookers, people that watched him and listened to him over and over and over and knew what he was saying, weren't saved. They weren't freed, weren't healed. But those that understood, you are the Son of God. Those that understood that he came to set them free, to deliver them, to be Lord of their lives, they receive. So it's not that we come to church and we hear and we go home. It's that we understand. When you understand, you are a part of God's reality. The whole hosting of who you are is a very specific part of God's own reality. You are essential to the fulfillment of the Word of God. That's why we call ourselves who we are, PFC, Prophetic Fulfillment Church, Body. We are here to walk in the fullness and see the fullness of God's word fulfilled in us. His word is full. He is complete. But he said, I want to dwell in you. He said to Moses, I'm going to do things I've never been able to do before until you came along. I'm going to do such wonders. And why was he able to do that? Because Moses believed. God said, I'm going to do such wonders unlike have ever been done before. Why? Because God found a vessel to believe him, to trust him, and to go there. There is an excitement within the realm of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is the fullness of God. The kingdom of God are his people understanding, I am a part of God's own reality. A part that has to be manifest through who he's called you to be. That's why he said, you are members of the body of Jesus Christ. And members particularly, in particularly, uniquely, one of a very, very unique kind. What makes you so unique? What gives you the power to love yourself so you can love your neighbor correctly so the fullness of God can be manifest through you? God will allow you to run into people that are just nasty to you. So you know who you are. So you know you're stronger than that. You'll love that about yourself. You know what I'm talking about. You've done it before. You've done it when you just gave them what for. And you walked away and went, I gave them what for. And you know what your soul felt like. Felt like it just slumped after the adrenaline just kind of settled down. You know it wasn't right. There was no peace. There was no real joy. You had to go tell somebody how you told them off. You needed them to bolster you again so you felt good about what you did. Because that's not the power. That's the weakness. Meekness is strength. Meekness is the power to be able to act one way, but you choose to act another. You choose to act the right way. You choose to humble yourself to the will of the Father. That's power. The meek are the strongest in the world. That's why God said the meek shall inherit the earth. They're the most powerful. They could do just what anyone else does, but they choose to exercise the authority, that part of God's reality that they are, and they love and they forgive. And without it, you're held back and you cannot move forward. You don't have to agree with their ways. Samuel didn't agree with the ways of the people. They had been worshiping foreign gods. I can only imagine the torment he must have been going through. But he still said to them, if you will bow down, not God consume them by fire, but if you will bow down and you will worship the Lord and you will get rid of your gods and serve God, I will go before the Lord for you. And the word says he took a nursing calf and he put it on the altar and God honored them. And there was the thunder in the heavens and the enemies were scattered. God made a sound and defeated the Philistines. And they were free from that time forward. How great is that? God will thunder for you. There isn't anything you can do to make someone else right, but there is a right that you can demonstrate that can bring conviction to the wrong. You can show the right so the right shows up so the people know what it looks like. In that, the favor of God will thunder from heaven and do what you cannot do. But God requires a host because you are a part of God's reality that cannot be known. God deemed it this way, unless he manifests himself through you. He said, what I will to do cannot be done until every word, every jot, every tittle is fulfilled that I have said, until it comes to pass. And through whom does God bring the fulfillment of that word? Through you. And he said, I will dwell in you, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and you will walk in the fullness of the power of who Christ in you is. And you have to understand that we're not here like the rest of everyone else. We cannot compare ourselves. You're going to have to be all right with standing out in the crowd as a born-again believer, as someone that stands in the faith. You don't have to go and shove your finger in everybody's face, poke everybody in the chest, and tell them they need to get born again. No one can save anyone. The Spirit of God has to open that door. But when that door opens, you need to be bold enough to step inside, and your light needs to shine. I mean, how many of you, don't you have people telling you all the time, I knew there was something different about you. I could tell that there was something unique about you. Don't you find favor from God every place you go? Just because you love the Lord and his reigning, ruling power is working through you? If not, you need to understand what being a part of God's reality means. It means it's easy for you to love just like he did because it's he that's doing it through you. It's easy to forgive like he did you because you're a part of his reality. God's reality was, I love the world, I'm going to forgive them. That was part of his reality. So if you've received that love, that's a part of who you are. As a matter of fact, that's the fullness of who you are. If God knew he would speak a word and his word would be fulfilled, that's a part of God's reality. He had to speak his word. So a part of who he is, a part of God's reality, was made known. So he made man, called him Adam, son of God, Adam, made him out of the dirt. God doesn't need anything to do everything. But he does require someone that can't do it on their own to believe that he will not do it for them, but do it through them. Understanding rules. Understanding reigns. Had Adam and Eve understood they were really a part of God's reality and lacked nothing, they would have never listened to the serpent. They didn't have to overcome the serpent. They just needed good understanding. With all your getting of wisdom, get understanding. And this is the good seed that fell into good ground. They that hear the word of the kingdom and understand it. That's who you are today. You're not just someone saved. You're not someone cleaned up, brushed off, and sent out. When you're born of the Spirit of God, you need to understand who you are. For the heart man believes to God, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Something has to take place. Jesus dying on the cross doesn't save you. You believing and receiving that he died on the cross for you saves you. You're waiting for God to do something in your life. God is waiting to do something through you. You're waiting for God to make it right. God has called you to make it right. He has called you to stand up in righteousness, to follow the covenant that he has made with you, to be a courier of his word, to trust in him with all your heart, to realize if I'm a part of God, I can't act like the part of the old me that used to be. If I am a part of God's reality, I have to demonstrate God's reality. And when you begin to take on that mind, you become transformed. Paul said, I forget what is behind. I press forward for the mark, the prize of the high calling, forgetting all those things that were behind. Then there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Some people are carrying around the Ark of the Covenant, but they're not sanctified to carry it, and they're wondering why they're dying. Consecrate your heart. When you open your mouth, bless. If the church would bless everyone that comes in no matter what and not curse, doesn't mean you have to be a fool, doesn't mean you have to let someone do harm to you or anyone around you, but if we would learn to bless and to speak well, not, well, I think we need to pray for so-and-so, and what you're really saying is you just want to gossip about them. But when you learn to bless, when you give God praise, when you're thankful for the people around you, we become a very, very, very powerful, unique people. You are a part of God's reality. And that reality that God has placed on the inside of you can only be made known when God reveals it through you. You are the host of his reality. We are the host as the body of Christ. We are the host of God's reality. You are the host of his power, of his love, of his word, of his spirit, of his truth, of his righteousness, of his joy, of his peace. You have it all. You lack nothing. And this is the greatest season of your life. God is doing wonders. God is doing wonders. You may not be aware of it, but I'm telling you right now, our world over the next 3 years is going to transform into something that is totally different. For the past 3 years, we've been prophesying that there were going to be things happen that were going to make history. Things were going to happen. And I'm not trying to put anyone off, and I'm not promoting anything but the kingdom of God. But in this recent election, God did wonders. And I stand bearing witness because the word of the Lord was this, that God would do things. Records would be made. There would be record events that would take place that had not taken place before. That God would be glorified, that people would rise up and begin to declare the praises of God. You would hear praises coming from all around the world unto God, and people's hearts would be turned. And those who were on the left would come over to the right. And I'm not, again, being political. I'm referring to the Word of God. But I am speaking according to the Word of God. And I have to stand as a witness and a testimony. We are in that time. It was not about policies and politics. It is about God's will being done, His kingdom being manifest, and people being set free and born again of the Spirit. So the part of God's reality that He has chosen and created all over the world comes to light. So we can fulfill the word where Jesus said, "You are the light of the world, a city, a nation, a king, a priest, set on a hill." So all those can see your light. I'm not talking about just this religious, you need to know Jesus. You go and pray for someone to know Jesus and then go home and act like the devil. I'm talking about someone who wants to know how you and why you look, live, think, and feel the way you do. Then the word says, be ready to give an answer when they ask you the question, why does this hope not just reside? Why does it preside in you? Why does it rule in you? You're that people. Great things are happening. God's blessing is over you in such a profound way, you have need of nothing. You lack nothing. You are a part of God's reality. He wants you to realize it, just like He realized when He sent His Son. The Word says, the first begotten of the Father. The first time. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. Who's that? Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And God realized His Word as the Lord and Savior when He sent Him into the... But until then, the Word says, the treasures and the mysteries of the kingdom were kept secret. But when Jesus was born, He began to reveal those kingdom principles and powers and realities and treasures and mysteries. Jesus didn't speak in parables to keep things mysterious. He spoke in parables so the people would yearn in their hearts to know the truth, to understand what He was talking about. Understand. You are a part of God's reality, and it is essential and vital to know that. And if you believe that, you'll overcome you. You will overcome the things that you're struggling with. You'll overcome the past. You'll overcome your fears. You can overcome your doubts. And you can be who God has created you to be. The host of His Word, His will. The living, breathing part of God's reality. This is that season. This is that time. We can't give up. We can't give in. We can't throw the towel in. As a matter of fact, you better put two in your pocket. Because we're going to run like never before. Declare like never before. Praise like never before. Worship like never before. Surrender like never before. God will revive the old and make it new again. He will make you new wineskins. He'll dress you up in the clothing of righteousness. You won't need a patch. He'll dress your consciousness in peace, your heart in certainty, and your steps in order. You'll know my steps are ordered of God. You can be at peace. You're never too far, never, ever too far gone. It's one moment of realizing this is it. Nebuchadnezzar was turned into a beast in the field. One moment of looking up and saying, the heavens, God, the kingdom does rule. God transformed him and gave him power and authority, renewing, making old new again, and revealing that which has not been known. A new thing I do. Before I do it, I will tell you about it. Will you not know it? God is doing something today that is so empowering, so transforming, so revelatory, that it's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by cunning, it's not by crafty business sense. Matt Crouch, Lori Crouch, Trinity Broadcasting Network, TBN. You were conceived in faith, built upon vision, and exercised according to the Word of God. So today you are. God did not allow you to be built, nor bless you, nor keep you, in order to be a memory of what was, but to stand as a witness of what remains and what is yet to be. Reviving and renewing that which was into something new. And making new things the reality of Trinity. God has not asked you to go into the market and be put on the auction block. Your stations, what was built by faith, but to bear witness that the Lord God will watch over what belongs to Him, and He will do with it as He wills. It is to remain as it has been, a marker, a pillar of a memory of faith, and even the faith of your dad. And that you may keep covenant with your dad and do as God has said. And not turn away from this point forward. All the days of your life. And in that, God says, I have not chosen you to go and to make provision for yourself as a businessman, but as a priest, a courier, and a carrier of my word. And if you will trust with your whole heart, I will show you what you have not seen. And I will do it through your faith, which is your true inheritance. And I will establish it to stand on the platform and the foundation that I, the Lord God, has commanded, because you will obey my word. And I will make it as it has never been before. And my word and my kingdom will solely consecrate and sanctify it. And as long as it's all the word of the living God, sanctified and consecrated to the kingdom of God. Without a cloak, you need no shield. I am your great shield. I am your comfort and your reward. I will make manifest throughout the nations of the earth. It is not up for bid. It is not sent out into the market to be part of the marketplace. But uncover the altar. Open up the box of treasury. And let the faith of my people sow into it as I move on their hearts to do so. The gold, the silver, the cattle, they belong to me, says the Lord. I will do what is right. Trust me, believe me, and do not bow your knee to any other voice. Keep covenant. Keep covenant with your Father. Keep covenant with your God. And the Lord will keep you. For you are covered, says the Spirit. Give the Lord praise today. God, we worship you. We love, we praise you, we thank you. For the Lord is good. God is great. And God is greatly to be praised. You know why covenant is so important? Because it doesn't change. It remains. It stays the same. It stands. So Jesus said, I am the same. Why would he need to change? He is the fullness of all things. All things great, all things good, all things right. He is the Lord ever present. And God, we praise you. Can you worship him? Come on, worship him. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Jesus, how we worship you, God. Believe, Jerry, with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, that God will make us together as the body and make you so much more than you would have imagined. The Lord has forgiven your past, so you too. The Lord has chosen you in the present, so stand in the present. The Lord has given you a future, so hope in the fullness of the future. That God will do things through you so far beyond you that you can say, as is in your heart to say, the Lord has done it. God has done it. And it is good to say, whatever God brings and God gives is good for me. But it is not for you that God will do. It is through you for His name's sake and for His glory. So elevate your mind and declare God will do great and wondrous things through me because you have been created as a part of God's reality. So give the Lord the praise due His name. Aiden and Avelina, if you will fully extend your heart, absolutely, Avelina, if you will fully extend your heart so far beyond anything within your family on either side, and you will say of the Lord God, here we stand as a witness to you. We completely consecrate and surrender ourselves to you and your spirit, your word, and your will. God will do what you cannot do. Do not contend. It is not beneficial. It does not bring peace. But you also do not have to be a part of what is not a part of the faith of Christ within you. But you can stand as a witness, extend your love, and speak the word of life. And love without question. Love without frustration. Do not debate the right or the wrong, but believe the truth. And through that, you will bear witness of the strength, the meekness, the dominion of God's word in you that makes you look stronger than those that arm wrestle you. And the Lord then will give you the whole as a benefit to you because of your faith. In Jesus' name. They will bow to your faith because you stand wholly, fully, and completely in faith. Faith in what? The word of the Lord that has come to you. The Lord is great and the Lord is good. God is going to bring people in to the altar. At the end of each service, we open up the altar, which means come bring your tithe, your offering, come before the Lord. And that is not my preaching. That is not my message. And yet, God has shown me something that it's not about asking for something, but it's about understanding the power of the altar. The power of the treasury, which is where you come and you sow. You work through the week, you work through the month, you earn your wages. However that is, whether you own your own business or you're employed by someone else. And then you have the opportunity, according to the word of the Lord, to take a portion, to take a tenth, to bring it to God, and then to bring an offering on top of that. That is the word of the Lord. When you know you are a part of God's reality, you're not afraid to do what God says. You don't think, I can't afford, I can't do. You yield yourself over to the will of God. You act as Jesus acted. You act upon the word of the Father. And the life of Christ emanates through you. Jesus said one time as a woman came and just put a very small amount of money, much smaller than anyone else. He said, she has given more than them all. God's eye is upon your heart in what you do. It doesn't matter how much someone does, how much someone makes, but it's that your heart is yielded to it. Now here's the thing. the house of God and the houses of the Lord that teach the kingdom of God and his righteousness are going to be so satisfied with the revenues and the offerings bought and brought. What do you mean? Some will sell to bring. Some will bring because they have. Throughout the earth, the tithe and the offering is going to increase throughout the churches because people are encouraged in the Lord God and they have come before the altar to sow of what they have as seed towards the word of the Lord as an act of faith and obedience and a statement that God rules in our economy. God rules in our lives, and what I have belongs to the Lord, or I would not have them. As David said, I bring all this offering and all this treasure and all this wealth, but what is it that I bring since you have given it to me anyway? But you have given it to me that I may bring it before you. And God honored and strengthened and raised him up. God doesn't need anything from you, but he does want your faith in him and your obedience to his word. And the other thing is we bring seed, and I'm speaking to you as well, as we bring seed into the house, we come unified as one. We become stronger because we are unified in our faith. We don't have to agree about everything, but we can come together in the unity of the faith that we are a part of the nature of God, and we come together with our seed, and we sow it unto the Lord, and we walk away, and it no longer belongs to you. But your faith does, and everything your faith produces, and God is glorified in it. In short, there's going to be more wealth coming into houses of God that declare the word of the Lord than has been since the day of David. God will increase his people, and they will be a testimony that the nations and the kings of the earth will call us blessed of the Lord. Because we have dared to believe and act upon the word of God. And we have dared to believe that he rules within our hearts. And Christ within us is the hope of glory. Selah, Jesus' name. Give the Lord praise in the house.